Right now, he is our NHL insider. Hello, Friedman. Good to talk to you. Appreciate your time as always here on a Friday. We're feeling good here today. It's a good day. I know probably not the same in Toronto where you are, but because, man, what did we talk a week ago? And already your buddies were panicking about things?
Yeah. You can bet that. First of all, Rhett, good to hear from you. Glad to hear you're good.
I'm not as good as you. You look great. My wife was very impressed with you last night.
Oh, tell her thank you very much. Most people are of all the times. Glad to see her come over to the good side.
She's loving you.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, it's the texts I was getting last night. They were hilarious. You could only imagine. Like, people were like, Nick Robertson gets the full Leaf experience, the jubilation of the goal and the crushing defeat at the same time.
Yeah, I guess, right?
Oh my gosh, it was really something. Holy cow.
Yeah.
There's a certain sense in Toronto of, oh, we don't just lose, we crush and stomp on the hearts of our fan base.
Yeah. Well, here in Calgary, the series is over. I think everyone's relieved with how it goes. You didn't want to go to a game five. They were very good last night, and the Jets on the other side had to feel like it was not going to happen. They lost their star players in game one. They scraped out one in game two, but man, Talbot played so great and just so physical in that. Now, again, and people say, well, it's their AHL team. Well, you still have to beat the AHL team.
You got to beat the team on the schedule. Yeah. All you can do is beat the team on the, you know, and it's true, the Jets were really beaten up. But, you know, if you lose, people are laughing at you because you lost to an AHL team, right?
Yeah. And it's a little tongue-in-cheek, and it's not an AHL team, but still. I guess what surprise takeaways from this series from the Flames side, because there's a number of them. Even here, we watch the team on a regular basis, and I think fans are a little surprised at what they saw out of the Flames.
Well, you'll remember a week ago, Dino, you and I were talking about the goaltending choice, and we said we both agreed it was going to be Talbot because it was the safe choice and the conservative choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you can add another word to it, that it was the correct choice.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jordan Sigalet and Jeff Ward had a good feel for their goaltenders because Talbot was a major difference in the series. And, you know, I think probably a lot of people felt that if Calgary beat Winnipeg, it was probably going to be more in spite of as opposed to due to their goaltending, and their goaltending played a big role in it. You know, I think, you know, it's amazing. Like, you look at your players, you know, the guys who get a lot of the attention for good reason are guys like Giordano, guys like Monahan, guys like Goodrow. Well, I think that Dylan Dubé is rapidly becoming one of your better players. Mangiapane is rapidly becoming one of your better players. And playoff Sam Bennett showed up. I don't know what they should do with this guy. Like, just send him home and say, Sam, you know, don't bother coming until game 70.
Yeah.
He's got another gear, and he was there. And of course, Kachuk. You know, he's 1977 Reggie Jackson. He's the straw that stirs the drink.
We talked about it earlier. You cannot expect the next series to go like this one did. It is not going to be near as easy as maybe derogatory to the Jets, but you're not going to have everybody performing because you go up and down the lineup. Gustafson looked good. Anderson was good last night. I thought the TJ Brody had a heck of a series. And then you go really all through. Well, what do they have? 11 of the 12 forwards score goals in the series. You can't want for more than that.
Well, you can't have passengers, and there were no passengers. And, you know, I think that's the thing you take from it. Like, in the playoffs, it's take no prisoners, right? You can't feel sorry for anyone else. And when you sense weakness, you have to strike it. You know, this is the time of the year where it's not about, like, I think in the regular season, there's nights where you take nights off or you subconsciously feel bad for an opponent or something like that. I think those things do happen. In the playoffs, you don't have time to be that way. You have to attack weakness. You have to be out there to crush. And the mentality of the Calgary Flames was, we're out there to do just that. You know, Winnipeg had all of its issues. all of its injuries, and you guys were merciless. And that's the attitude you have to have. Well, normally we're saying May and June. I guess now we're saying August.
Yeah, I know. We were talking the other day about Milan Lucic. He had a dreadful second period. They get that two-goal lead, and he takes a bad penalty, and then they score on it. And then last night, you give Beaulieu credit. You know what he was trying to do, but it did not work for them. It certainly got Lucic involved. Lucic has 4 points in the four games, and he's not going to have that next round, chances are, and he's not going to be as impactful. But I don't know, it's a chicken or the egg. You feel like he gets confident, and then he plays better, and then those around him play better. Bennett last night had 8 hits. That's a guy who's comfortable on the line. I don't know how much of that is because of Lucic or confidence or any of that, but they love him. He loves them. There's something there that I didn't see coming. The debate all year long about the Neil or Lucic, people are loving the deal right now, obviously.
Well, I think what will happen is whoever gets the Calgary Flames next round, I'm sure this happened to you at some points during your career, whoever is coaching that team is going to show a video of Lucic last night, of Beaulieu fighting him and the way Lucic played, and say to his players, don't do that. Nobody is challenging Lucic this series. As a matter of fact, you are to ignore him. If he touches the puck, you let him skate with it until he does whatever. Don't even talk to him. Don't look at him. Don't do anything. I guarantee to you that's going to be the message. Don't wake up the bear. And you know, I thought last night, I agree with you. I know what Beaulieu was trying to do. I understand it. I mean, we've all seen it, but it got him going on the first shift of the game. I think it's going to be the exact reverse. Bennett, to me, is a different category altogether. He's just, there are guys who are playoff performers who see this stage and they love it. He's clearly that guy. He loves this stage. He gets wired to play this stage. You have to be prepared that he's going to be like that. I think Lucic is a bit of a different animal. He needs to be woken up sometimes, and whoever you play next is going to be on their team not to do it.
Do you think that I can't say his last name, Beaulieu?
Yes.
Do you think that he talked with any of the coaches about that, or do you think that was just a personal choice? Because I know some of the guys that I played with, like Paul Laus, would have talked to the coaches. I might go and do this or that. I never did it, but some guys did. I just was curious to think if he would have. Do you think that he would have talked with the coaches about that, or just went out and tried it?
I just think the way life goes now, I don't know if you can do that anymore, Red. Like when you played, absolutely, it was all about message sending, and the coaches knew which player to go to, and the players knew which player was going to do it. And you know, in this day and age, I'm not sure, like, if it got out that, say, Beaulieu talked to Paul Maurice, for argument's sake, and said, I'm going to do it, and I want to do it, and Maurice put him out there, I think it would be, like, almost like a, I don't think there's a tolerance for that anymore.
Really?
So, okay. I think the era is so different. I can't imagine Beaulieu and Maurice would set it up like that, because would Maurice have agreed with them anyway?
Would Maurice have agreed and said, yeah, go do it? Or would he have been like, no, what are you thinking?
I think in this day and age, there's no tolerance for that. Like I understand what you're saying, because Rhett, when you played, that was normal. Nobody would bat an eye at it. Right now, I think it's very different. Like, look at the reaction to Ferland. When he fought Foligno the other night, I understood what he was doing, but I was cringing watching it. I was playing, like Marcus Foligno is a tough guy, like a legit tough guy. And I was saying, like, don't connect. Because you all know, with what we know now and what we know about people, it's tougher to watch. So I was watching that last night, and I was saying, good for Beaulieu, but I was also saying, I hope this doesn't go the way that we all think this is going to go.
He is Elliot Friedman, our NHL insider. I'm just kind of I'm looking here, and I can't help but wonder. Again, we there's macro and there's micro. We're talking about the show after they clinch a playoff series, but the Mangiapane story has been one for a while, and the Dylan Dubé. I thought Anderson was really good. He gets the contract extension. He's going to be a part of what they do moving forward. Valimaki is still kind of waiting in the wings. I wonder if, as you watch this team start to mature, if this gives Brad Treliving a little bit of pause moving forward in terms of trading draft picks. Anderson and Dubé, both second rounders in 15 and 16. Mangiapane, a sixth rounder in 2015. Valimaki was a first rounder. I mean, if you want to throw Bennett in there as well, it feels like it's kind of a failed first rounder, but he's not failing the team right now. I just wonder if you look at the work, Tkachuk has obviously been a very good pick. They drafted Adam Fox. It just turned out that he wasn't going to come here.
Yeah.
They've gotten so much better at the draft table in recent years. I wonder just when you watch specifically Mangiapane, Dubé, and Anderson, you think take even one of those guys out, it's a completely different team. I wonder if Treliving will be a little, is he going to be a little more stingy when it comes to holding on to draft picks?
Well, I think in general you prefer to, right? I don't think there's a GM around who wants to trade them. You have to decide, you know, what your situation is. I understand your point. You almost don't want to get your guys to be emboldened to trade more to trade picks, especially if you have a feeling that you're really good at unearthing later uncut gems, I guess is a lack of a better term. I think generally GMs want to hoard picks more than anything else. Your scouts get really annoyed at you, and you generally feel like you're not letting them do what they want to do. But I think the other thing too with your team is, you know, you're going to have some holes simply because of age and attrition and contract situation. So you're going to need them even more. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Giordano looks like he's going to play forever. Is getting older. Brody's a free agent. Obviously, Hamonic's a free agent. You know, Lucic is getting older. You got to figure out where you're going to go with Tkachuk and Gaudreau. You're going to have cap room, but you're going to need to be able to fill some of these spots if not everyone comes back. And I would bet that Treliving's general preference is to keep all of his picks.
Some interesting games today. We've kind of talked about the Leaf one already. That it just doesn't feel like a good setup. Tortorella with that team against the Leafs. What's your read on the Edmonton-Chicago? We've got a 4:45 local time start here. And the Hawks, you talk about a team that's been frustrating to play. For the Oilers, that's been the Blackhawks. They've gotten some crazy bounces. And on the other side, for the most part, they haven't got them outside of McDavid. What do you see happening here today with the Oilers and Hawks?
Well, I think McDavid and Draisaitl need some help. I mean, they've lost Dennis for the series. But, you know, Cassian has to get going. You know, that's a guy who you look at in the playoffs and you say, he's a guy who can really help us. And he has not been there. You know, I think that's number one. I think, you know, you can look at the goal. You can say there's some bad bounces. They haven't gotten enough saves from either goaltender. You know, I just generally feel that the group around the superstars has to be a lot better. Like, you take a look at the other night, who was Chicago's forward who played the most? It was Kirby Dach.
Yeah, that's right.
And he earned every minute. So Chicago's got a player here that's a bit of a surprise, and they're happy that he's this impactful. Who's that guy for Edmonton?
Who do you put in net if you're Tippett?
I know people might laugh at me for saying this, but I might go back to Smith.
Any rationale behind it, or is it just a gut?
It's, you know, Tippett obviously has an edge to Smith. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, it's not like, I mean, I know he wasn't great, but the team wasn't great in front of him either. I just think that Smith is, he's a battler, and I think Edmonton needs that attitude there right now. Like Koskinen, I don't have as much, like, so all those fans, they really hate Koskinen. I'm not like that. I don't really hate him. I have no reason to hate him.
Well, I think they hate both guys, don't they? I think they hate both guys right now.
I think that's true. But there's just something about the energy that Smith radiates that I hope would my team would catch up to it. But you gotta, like, I really look like that Cassian, you just need him to just be rambunctious for a little. Like, he's so tame looking right now. You can't have that.
Well, it's hard. They give up a pair of picks for Athens, a CU, and, you know, he hasn't been a difference maker. Neil's played up and down the lineup, and he hasn't done a whole lot for them. It's that same story for them, right? If it's not McDavid and Draisaitl, they need help, and that clearly happened last game, and I bet it'll be the same today. And I guess just before we let you go, thoughts on Pittsburgh-Montreal, because the Penguins need one.
Well, I got to tell you, I can't believe that they lost that game the other night. Mm-hmm. Like, it was 3-1. It was like the Leafs last night. Like, to me, the Leafs in the second period, they looked really good. And I was sitting there in the intermission saying they looked really good, and they lost. And Pittsburgh was up 3-1, and I cannot believe they lost that game. You know, it's Crosby's birthday today, too, eh?
Mm.
Like, it's the. Can you imagine you're born in August, and you're like, I'm never going to play a game on this day. And now here we are in 2020. We're playing hockey on August the 7th. Now, I can't believe Pittsburgh's in this situation. I'm honestly shocked about it. Like, Weber and Petrie and Sherratt are playing unbelievable, those guys. Like, they have just been incredible. Price has been great. That kid Suzuki looks fantastic. They are so, I mean, they have really overachieved. You know, Jeff Merrick and I, Dean, have been doing, like, the outrage meter. Who are fans going to be most outraged to get Lafreniere?
Yeah.
And Edmonton's 1, Pittsburgh's 2, and Toronto is 3 right now.
Yeah, for sure. That's the only thing, because we sit here, it's like nothing better than watching the Oilers lose, but they are so good at draft lotteries. They're so good at them. Yeah, they're really good. They're really good at it, so we're torn here.
They're also good at 50-50s.
That's right. You guys raise a lot of money.
Dynamite. They are dynamite. I have to ask you about the beard. I don't care about the beard, but people are, you got to ask Elliot about the beard. Are you waiting for the first round? Like, what's happening?
We're figuring out the charity aspect of this.
All right.
Can I buy some of it when you're done with it?
Gross. What do you want to do with it?
Gross.
I just want to, own a piece of Friedman. That's all.
You know what it's like? Were you like a wrestling fan in the 80s and 90s?
Absolutely.
Remember when they cut Andre the Giant's hair and they carried it around in that baggie?
Yes, that's what I would do.
That's what this will be like.
I'll take it to the pub with me.
Stop. I'm going to gag. Hideous. Thank you, Elliot. We'll talk to you in a week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Goodbye.